Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. I'm your host, Becky Davidson, and I am so glad that you are joining us for this week's episode. You know, siblings of individuals with special needs are so often the unsung heroes in the family. Many times their needs and desires have to be placed on the back burner due to the needs of their sibling with special needs. And in today's episode, you are going to get to hear words of wisdom from the People's family as they share how they navigate life as a special needs family and how they have found unique ways to meet the needs of each member of the family. Now, Lee and Sandra have both been guests on the podcast before, but today they are joined by their son, David. And David is going to share what it is like for him to be a sibling to his brother, James, who has autism. Now, this was David's first time to be a guest on a podcast, and he did a fabulous job. You are going to love hearing what he has to say. Now, if you're not familiar with Lee and Sandra and their journey, be sure to check out episode 7 of season 3 of the Rising Above podcast, where they share about their life as a special needs family. And you'll get to learn so much about them in that episode, about their ministry and the things that they do to help and encourage families who are raising children with special needs. So to all the siblings out there, I just want you to know that we see you, we acknowledge you, we think you are amazing, and we are so thankful to David and to his mom and dad for joining us for this episode where they are going to share some really encouraging words, and I know that you are going to love hearing what they have to share with us today. Hey, Lee and Sandra and David, thank you guys so much for joining us all the way from Texas. I'm so glad to see you guys. I always love having you on our podcast and getting to talk with you all. And so thanks for being here. And David, thank you for being here today.
You're
special
welcome.
Edition. Special addition to the show. So we're glad you're here. But, you know, so many of our listeners know Lee and Sandra. We've had both of you on the show multiple times. But David, we don't know much about you. We've talked about your mom or dad have talked about you and shared a little bit about you, but I would love for you to get to share a little bit about yourself. So like, how old are you? Tell us about school and kind of like what you enjoy getting to do.
Okay, well, I'm 14. I will be 15 next month. And school, I am homeschooled. I do this thing where it's like a co-op. So like I'll go for a day and I have two classes and then they give me work throughout the rest of the week that I do at home. I enjoy theater. I do a lot of theater arts. I enjoy books and dogs and kind of, I'm pretty much in between an introvert and an extrovert.
There you go.
I do like some alone time, but I also like being in front of people and entertaining people. It's also one of my favorite things.
I love that. And I have seen your mom post some different things about you and in the different plays and productions that you have been in. And so I think that's so amazing. So what's been your favorite production that you've gotten to be a part of? What's been the favorite character you've gotten to play?
I think it was Kerchick from Fiddler on the Roof. He's one of the mains that come in, and I really like him.
That's very good. Well, you know, I'm so glad that you're having this conversation with us, David, because, you know, so often siblings, I like to say siblings are often the unsung heroes in the special needs family, because, you know, when you've got a brother or sister who has special needs, their needs take precedent a lot of times over things that maybe you want to get to do. And so I want to have that conversation. You know, my son is my only child, so I don't have the sibling dynamic in our home. And so I'm excited to get to hear from you and hear about how having a brother with special needs has impacted your life as a 14-year-old. So this is, I'm excited about having this conversation. So tell me, David, what would you say when you look at your life as having a brother with special needs? What is something that has been one of the best parts about that?
Well, I think some of the best parts are we have a little bit more fun. Our family's a little different.
That's a great perspective. That is a great perspective right there. I love that.
I don't know if we want to elaborate much on that.
What kind of fun are we talking about here? Yeah.
Well, we just have a few more different challenges and public places and different experiences than normal, typical families would have.
Yeah.
I also enjoy, we get to be part of kind of a smaller community than other people.
Yeah.
And,
what does that look like when you say smaller community?
Well, we get to interact and connect with other families who have children with special needs. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a smaller kind of demographic than if you look at an entire whole.
Yeah. Yeah. So makes your circle of people you interact with smaller and maybe can build some deeper friendships that way. Yeah. So that's great. So I know that there's some good things, but there's got to be some challenges too. So share a little bit about your brother. And then what are some of those things that are a little bit more challenging to deal with that maybe, you know, typical kids, your typical friends that you have in your life are just not going to get?
Well, one of them is James likes to be loud. He likes to sing. Which is difficult in some public places, trying to get him to be quieter if there's an environment where we need to be quiet, like a restaurant, not to sing at the top of his lungs.
But. Hey, you know, he's a happy guy, right?
Yeah. He is. There's some more like social, there's some looks that we get in public questions that we have to answer.
If this is the first time the audience is meeting us, James has level 3 autism, so he's mostly nonverbal, and so he communicates, as David said, with lots of noises and vocalizations, but he has no physical disabilities, so when people see us, they expect us to be a typical family, and then he can't meet those typical expectations.
Right.
And so, that's what leads to some of the looks and some of the comments that we get when we're in public.
Yeah. How does that make you feel, David? You know, when you feel those people staring at you or looking, what is that? How do you respond and how does that make you feel?
Well, when I was a little younger, I think I felt some embarrassment, but I don't really anymore. I just kind of look at it as if they want to judge us, that's their thing.
That's on them.
It's on them.
Yeah. Yeah. That is great. And I think that's a great way to see things because I think even for us as parents, David, sometimes what the behaviors that our kids have can be embarrassing sometimes too. And it's hard for us, to transition to that, just going, look, this is our family. This is who we are. And so I think that is great. Is there a story in particular that you can think of that maybe someone reacted, you were out and maybe someone reacted in a way that you were like, oh, I can't believe they reacted that way? Or,
well, I don't really pay much attention in social scenarios like that, but I can't remember this one. I don't know if it was there, but I've been told of it. We were at a restaurant and a family kind of sitting near us, James was being loud, and a family kind of sitting near us, like, moved away, like, to a different table.
Mm. Yeah.
That would be hard.
So have you had interactions with people who have been just really great and receptive? And do you have a story about someone maybe who just really came alongside and embraced your brother? Maybe a friend, even one of your friends, how they responded to James?
Well, I think the most recent was we were out with our grandma and we were out at McDonald's and he was getting upset and he was kind of being loud. But another special needs family with a son with autism who was a little older, probably like 18 or 19, came, and they were super supportive and were like, oh yeah, we had, he went through that phase, had to deal with it. So it was really nice of them to poke their head in.
And I think we love it when we see other special needs families out there struggling for us to go, we see you, we get it, we understand. So that's great. So do you, you know, when you look at the future with your brother, do you have any concerns? Are there things that kind of make you worry about the future with him? So James is how old? You're 14.
I'm 14.
And James is?
13.
Okay. So you're just about a year apart. So what are things that maybe you are worried about or you have concerns about as you look at him getting older and in the future?
Well, where he's going to go is a concern when he grows older.
Yeah.
Because I will take care of him, but at some point, he's going to have to go into like a home or something. Because I mean, I'll try, but I just don't think I'm going to be able to, with my family and him, it's going to be a lot.
Yeah. So that's hard. That's a lot to even be thinking about as a 14-year-old. I would say most 14-year-olds haven't had that thought. But I know with your mom also being, now Sandra, you have a sister who has special needs. So how have you been able to navigate these conversations with your son, you know, as he's looking at the future, because you've been there, you know what that was like to, as a 14-year-old, to be knowing already, I'm going to be responsible. So how have you helped David process through that?
Well, you know, we live in the town close to where my parents and my older sister with Down syndrome live. So David sees that Aunt Sybil still lives with Grandma and Papa, and even though she's just a year older than I am. And so hopefully James will be able to live with us as long as possible. And then if he has to transition, we will cross that bridge. But I think it's smart of David not to take on too much responsibility, or not to think that he has to fulfill every need that's going to come up in our future and James's future. He knows that there will be support there. He sees how we support Aunt Sybil. And so he knows kind of what our role is in that, but he can see how other family members come in and help too, and church friends and different people. So hopefully he's seeing how wide that support can be and not think he has to take on too much responsibility for himself.
No, I think that's great. And I think, you know, it's such a unique dynamic in your family, because you do, you Sandra, have such a heart for what your son is feeling, because you have walked through that. You can have such empathy for him because you've been there and you know those fears and those concerns and whatnot. So David, how would you say that being a sibling makes you different maybe than your peers, but in a good way?
Well, I think I've been told by other people that from a younger age, I was a little more responsible than my peers. I didn't experiment as much as a kid. I've been told I was a very cautious kid.
Ah.
I didn't do very many dangerous things.
Interesting.
Yeah. Always very mature.
Yeah.
Yeah, responsible, that's a good word to use.
Yeah, I was going to say, so Lee and Sandra, how would you describe the young man that David is growing into?
Well, I think you can hear a lot of wisdom already there.
Yes.
That we see out of David that I wish I could have possessed as a 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
I think life has grown him up a little quicker than probably other kids his age. Mm-hmm. And we've always seen a very caring spirit within him, and really just a very mature spirit always. And, you know, as he said, he's always been a cautious kid, and that's cool. I'm fine with you still being cautious. Like you don't need to get out of some of that cautiousness at times. But I mean, he is just always, I think, what we've seen develop, just really embraced whatever next challenge has come. And Sandra's described him often as kind of our rock and of the family. And I think we see that a lot of times. He's just, he's the, you know, steady as he goes type one. So.
Wow. Those are some big words there. That's quite a compliment there. I don't hear that said about many 14-year-olds. So I think we see that a lot though, Sandra, don't we? I know you work a lot with siblings and have a lot of wisdom to share in that. But wouldn't you say that's the case with a lot of siblings of who have brothers and sisters with special needs? That
they do grow up quickly. And we see that as a positive thing for David. There are some times that Lee and I have to encourage him, go have fun with your friends. Go do something. Go. We've got James. If we're out as a family, we'll take care of James. You can go just be a kid and have fun. Especially when he was younger and we did, you know, like family birthday parties with other friends from church and stuff like that. He would hang back and try to stay with James and we'd say, oh no, we got it. You go play. And, but we see him in other ways kind of stand up for the underdog or defend people who may be getting picked on in different scenarios. He doesn't have much tolerance for that. I didn't either. And so that's a good quality. I think that a lot of special needs siblings share is we learn quickly to stand up for our siblings and other people with differences and disabilities. And God can really use that because that's God's heart too. Yeah. I mean, we see him always trying to pull more and more people into the family, into the community, the outsider, the people who are struggling. And so we get to be a part of that redemption story because we are fighting for people who may not feel like they have a seat at the table.
Yeah. Well, I know that, you know, you have David, who's got things that he enjoys doing, James, all of his therapies, all of his, you know, the responsibilities there, plus his unique needs. So how in the world do you balance all this? You know, Lee, you're a pastor working full time doing that. Sandra, you have your own ministry going with lots of things going on in your world with your podcast and your website and speaking and all that. So you've got both your boys and their needs, plus all the other responsibilities that you have. How do you balance everything? I have no concept of that, like I said, because all I have is John Alex that I'm trying to balance. But how do you do that? How do you share your wisdom with us? How in the world do you keep it all going?
Well, we have a shared Google calendar that we rely on a lot.
Yeah.
And that's just a practical thing. We write everything down on Sunday evenings. We usually have like a meeting, even though I wouldn't call it such a formal time, where we say, okay, what are y'all doing? What are we doing? And then, you know, we have a good support system because we live close to my parents. And so if there's a time that we need somebody, James picked up from therapy, or for example, because I need to be continuing to homeschool David, my parents can step in and help. And that's a huge blessing. That's one of the reasons that we live where we live, so that we could be closer to them. And we try to have some one-on-one time with David, some things that we do. Lee and David are boxing. They go into a boxing gym a few times a week and enjoying that. And we
don't hit each other. When I tell people we do boxing, people are like, do you hit other people? No, it's just we're working out.
But you get your frustration out, though, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, we do hit bags. Yeah, which, you know, yeah, hitting the bags. Bag,
so I think that's a win-win. Yeah. Having father-son time and then getting your frustrations out. So I think that's great.
Yeah. And even this year of homeschooling, David's been in public school for the last few years, and with everything kind of up in the air right now, we just decided to homeschool so we'd have a little more control over his schedule. And that's fun because he's home when James isn't home. And so we get to have lunch, just the three of us. Yeah. Or we get to talk about the books he reads without me having to say, okay, wait, you can't finish that sentence because I have to go figure out where James is and what he's doing. And so this COVID season in some ways is bringing some blessings to our family and opening up some different opportunities for us. I feel like, especially, I mean, David's 14, about to turn 15. You don't get bonus time with a teenager very often. And so we are especially thankful for the extra time that we're getting to spend with him right now.
Yeah. So David, when you look at the time that you get to spend, you know, with your mom or with your dad, I know probably it's now that you're home and with Lee, your office being you all live on the same property there with the church. So you all probably get to have lunch together all as a family where a lot of families wouldn't. But if you're looking at the things that you do separate with your mom and with your dad, what's the most favorite thing that you do with your mom? It's just your time alone with mom. What do you enjoy getting to do with her the most?
We just finished watching through. We do it every night. Avatar: The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra.
Okay.
Watched both those on Netflix. So we just watched like two episodes a night, like 8:30 to 9.
And so that's mom time. And, and
I know that was really special because that was before James went back to school, and so our days were pretty full and busy. And so it was nice at 8 to stop. And then just get to hang out together.
So what about your dad? What's your favorite thing to do with your dad?
The boxing thing.
The boxing thing. Yeah. Do you hit bags and not your dad, right?
Yes.
Okay. We just want to clarify. We hit bags and not dad. Okay. Just making sure. So what about James? What do you enjoy getting to do with James?
Well, we kind of stay out of each other's way most times. Really.
Yeah.
But I think we have fun kind of going places.
Yeah.
That's
swimming. Every time James goes to the pool, he wants David to come too. Because it's more fun with David to play with.
Yeah.
That's probably where you guys interact the most in, I would say, a typical type, you know, brother relationship is playing in the pool. So,
And David got to babysit last weekend while Lee and I went to a high school football game, and we came home and James was still up and still playing, and David was like, "Oh, I just didn't want to tell him to go to bed yet." And I was like, "Well, you're going to be like his favorite babysitter."
Yeah, exactly. Bonus points. Yeah.
You let him just keep playing outside and doing whatever he wants to do and meeting all of his needs. And so that was pretty funny.
That is, well, you know, guys, one of the things that I have seen over the years, and this so does not apply to you guys, but I want to talk about it a little bit, is that there's sometimes when Jeff and I were working with other special needs families where there were siblings involved, a lot of times one parent would favor one child over another. We would see maybe the dad who felt more connected maybe to the child who didn't have special needs because they could go out and do events and do things, whereas the mom was more connected with the child who had special needs because maybe they were the ones doing the therapy and whatnot. What do you say to parents to encourage them? You know, you guys do a beautiful job of everybody interacting all together. What would you say to encourage the parents, maybe families who are maybe struggling with that, struggling with kind of this division where you're not doing things together as a family, or one is maybe favoring one child over another? What do you say to those families?
One thing I try to think through is I try to love each boy, each one of my sons for who they are and who they're, but not who they're not, you know what I mean? Right. So obviously David and James are different. So I need to learn how to love them in a different way, communicate with them in a different way, hang out with them in a different way. And so I have to learn to love them for who they are. I'm a big sports person. David's not a big sports person, you know, so I know for him to come to a high school football game or an Astros game, that's a sacrifice he's making to spend time with me, I promise nachos, and that usually gets them out with me for a little while.
Hey,
but we like to, you know, we like to go to the movies together, and that's a big thing he and I do that James and I can't do. Mm-hmm. But James and I do the grocery store, you know, and so I've tried to learn to find joy and figuring out how to love them for the individuals they are in that way.
That's good. Sandra, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think David saying he's kind of an introvert and kind of an extrovert works in our favor because we do introvert kind of things and he and Lee do extrovert kind of things.
There you go.
We read the same books and we talk about them and that's really fun. But then he and Lee will go and do things, go to the movie, go to the boxing gym, go to church events that maybe I can't get to because I'm home with James. And so it's really fun to say, okay, this is what Mom likes to do, and I'm going to join her in that. This is what Dad likes to do, and I'm going to join him in that. When I was growing up, my dad watched football every weekend, and so I learned to watch football because I wanted to hang out with my dad, and I was willing to do whatever it took to get to hang out with him. And so as parents, we can, of course, facilitate and encourage that, but sometimes it just takes a little desire from the kid, too, to say, okay, I'm going to do what Dad wants to do or eat where Dad wants to eat. They like to go out and eat. they like to go out and eat together. And since James struggles to eat out, we just stay home and let them have this experience on their own. And so there's lots of different things. And I think it makes a really complete picture for David because he gets to do different things with each parent. But I don't feel like he's missing out on any of the options because both of us are kind of fulfilling different needs.
Well, and I love the balance that you guys have figured out. I know it's been work. I know it hasn't been easy to get to this place. And I know that it's, I think, you know, whenever there's a change, COVID or whatever, there we have to adjust to another new normal. And so, but I think you guys have found some really great tools that when those adjustments have to be made, it's not as challenging probably now as it would have been years ago. To make those adjustments. So I think that's great. The Google Calendar. I know, Sandra, you're really big on your meal planning and having those things in place and all that. And so I know that that is a big, big help. Now, you mentioned earlier about that having outside help, having family come alongside, that you live in an area. How is that impacted with making sure David's maybe getting to do some things where if you and Lee are not going to be able to do that. How do you bring other people into your world? Because I think some special needs families struggle with that. But I know that when your family, you've got siblings and you've got specials, you know, you're trying to figure all this out, that allowing people into your world can really help with this thing. So how have you found that to be true?
Well, one of my favorite examples is David's theater shows. And so Lee and I can't go to the same show unless somebody's watching James. And so we have tons of friends from church who show up and watch his performances. And so we're not the parents who can help. We can't volunteer. We can't show up at every rehearsal or work the snack bar. We just have limitations that keep us home. And so we're thankful for other theater parents who step into those roles that we can't fulfill, but he gets a ride home with a friend when we can't be there, or, you know, just lots of things that help fill in the gaps. Yeah. But it really is special for him to look out when he's performing and see familiar faces from church and friends, and they're there supporting him because they know how important it is to support. And it's not all pastors' kids feel that level of love from their churches. And so we tell him he's a pretty blessed kid to have this church that loves him and loves James and shows up to really support him so that he feels like he's just seen and valued for the skills that he has.
Because I know a lot of times, and maybe more so early on, David, but when that a lot of times, you know, James and his needs would overshadow maybe some of the things you wanted to do. But it sounds like as you've gotten older, you guys have really been able to find some some ways to make everybody feel seen and loved, and everybody wants to feel valued and seen and loved. And so I love the example that your family sets for some ways to do that. And I can't help but think, but Sandra, had you not been through this as a child yourself, that only just helped you be more prepared to help your son. So I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So what we always end our podcast with, the one thing. So I'm actually going to ask this to both David and Sandra. So what I want to know is, if you were to sit across the table from somebody else, another sibling younger than you, they've just are trying to figure out, their brother or sister has just maybe been diagnosed with autism or has been born and has a special need, what would you say to them to encourage them?
Well, I think that we have to remind ourselves, especially as siblings, that God has a purpose for our family unit as a whole. And so sometimes we can feel ignored or unseen. Sometimes I call special needs siblings shadow siblings, like they're in the shadow of the sibling who requires so much.
Yes.
So I would probably remind kids that they're created with a purpose too. We talk about how our kids with disabilities are wonderfully created and God works through them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we say that message so often that sometimes we forget to say, oh, we are all created with a purpose.
Yes.
We all have this calling that God puts on our lives, and we fulfill that in big and small ways, but He knit us as a family together for a purpose. And so I remember asking my mom, what is Down syndrome? And why would I have a sister with Down syndrome? And why would God do this? And she, it's part of God's purpose for you. There's something that makes me who I am because I am Sybil's sister.
Wow.
And that was on purpose. That's the way God designed our entire family, not just Sybil has this special design and we're all, rotating around that.
Each
one of us has a special design. And even as a family, we have a special design to fulfill that purpose. And so just a reminder that they're wonderfully created as well, on purpose, with a mission that God has given them to fulfill.
I love that because, you know, so like you said, so often we think about the individual with special needs and we say all those things, but that picture of God not only wove the individual people in a beautiful way, but your whole family has been woven together the way God designed. So I love that imagery of that. So David, what would you say?
I think I would tell the sibling to appreciate your brother or sister for who they are. Because I feel some feelings in between the siblings could be the typical doesn't like the non-typical because they steal the spotlight, but just try and figure out what your sibling likes and try and do it with them. Just appreciate them like a brother or sister, because that's what they are. Try and find a way to treat them like your brother and or sister. It's mean to say and or, they can cut that out, but just try and treat them like a sibling and try and have fun with it.
Yeah. I think you're great at
it. Yeah. That is fabulous. So Lee, how did you get such a wise son?
Sandra. Is there any doubt? That's why I've just been quiet the whole time.
Wow. Are you sitting there going, that's my son?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you got to stop having me. Like, I'm listening to him and tearing up over here. So I'm glad I'm on mute most of the time. So I think anytime I'm on your podcast, I cry a little bit. So.
Hey, I love to bring out the tears. Anybody who knew Jeff, like, that was what he was really, that was his gift. It's like if he were preaching on a Sunday and people saw he was preaching, it would be, I'm going to get the tissues because we're going to have tears. So I'm glad I can bring out about your emotional side of your fatherhood, Lee. My special talent here. No, but I mean, seriously, David, you have had just really shared some great wisdom with us. And I think I know your mom and dad are proud of you. And mom and dad, what would you say to your son? What would you, as to the young man that he's growing into?
That, I mean, it's nothing new to you that I think we already haven't said a lot, but we're proud of you. We're proud of who you're becoming. And we want you to just continue to fulfill what God's called you to do, whatever that's going to be in life. And I just want you to be the best follower of Jesus, you know, that you can be.
Yeah. Yeah. He is such the heart of our family. He is, he feels more deeply. He expresses those emotions more deeply than even Lee and I do. And so I love that he reminds us to be in the moment and to feel what we're feeling and sit with us in that. And that's hard things and good things. We don't have to sugarcoat with David. We don't have to pretend like everything is fine. We can be very honest with him because he can handle it. But he also is becoming as much of an encourager to us as we are to him. Like if I have a meeting and I'm like, okay, bud, I've got a meeting and I'll see you in an hour. And I come out of that meeting. How was your meeting? How'd it go? What'd y'all talk about? You know, I mean, he is engaged in our lives, which is a gift to us, and just feeling like he cares about what we're doing and not just these separate spheres of kid here and parents here. So much of what we do overlaps because Lee being a pastor, David is involved in things in church, and he knows that when I'm speaking, I'm talking about him. so much of what we do overlaps. And so it's really special that he cares and wants to be a part of what we're doing, and that we can invite him into a time like this. And he's willing to come on and say, yeah, I'd love to talk about what it's like to be a sibling. I'd love to meet Miss Becky, who you always talk about. That's pretty fun.
Well, I am, you know, we always love our conversations that we have with your family. And so I just want to thank you all for joining us again. And I know that there are going to be many more conversations that we'll have, because this, you know, our journeys, they continue and they change. And so there's always things that we can talk about. So I'm so grateful for the example that you guys set for other special needs families of how you can do it and do it well. It's not perfect. I know none of us are perfect, but I know, but what the example you set just helps us all see, okay, we can do this. We can strive and keep going. And when things feel like they're falling apart, we're going to find a way to make it work. So thank you guys for your time. And again, we're just so grateful for you all and all that you do to love and encourage the special needs community. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.